Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. To kick off this weekend show, Al will not be with us for a number of the segments this week. Unfortunately, he was having some technical difficulties, some problems with his recording softwares. We are kicking off this weekend show with a new guest, Dr. Lacey Hunt. He is the Executive Vice President of Hoisington Investment Management Company. This is a firm that manages over $6 billion in assets. Prior to joining Hoisington, he was also the chief U.S. economist for the HSBC Group, executive vice president and chief economist at Fidelity Bank, senior economist for the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. He has also written numerous articles that have been published in everything from Barron's to the Wall Street Journal to the New York Times. To say the least, Dr. Lacey Hunt, you are very well qualified, and we're very happy that you could join us. Thank you for taking time out of your day.
My pleasure, Corey.
Well, let's start it off here, Lacey, by chatting about what's going on in the economy, both domestically and internationally, as it relates to debt. We continue to see debt pile up essentially around the world, and currently, after the big hoopla in 2008 about how much debt there was, we have much more out there right now, don't we?
Yes, depending upon your point of reference and some differences in method of computation, we have approximately $35 trillion more of debt, public and private, than we did in 2008. The main surge in debt since 2008 occurred in Japan and Europe. The U.S. debt has been relatively stable, but the big kicker came from China, which quadrupled its debt since 2008. Its Chinese public and private debt is somewhere in the vicinity of 300%. Chinese numbers are problematic, but most experts agree that that's where they were. In addition, there's been a big surge of debt in a lot of the emerging economies from India, Brazil, Turkey, Chile, South Africa. The world is paying a very high price. Debt is an increase in current spending in exchange for a decline in future spending, unless the debt generates an income stream to repay principal and interest. Unfortunately, most of the debt that is being generated domestically and globally falls into this category of either unproductive or counterproductive debt. It's not going to generate an income stream, and it's depressing aggregate economic activity. We've got the clear problems in the United States. There are now about 20 different studies done by very significant economic thinkers, both in the U.S. and around the world, that indicate that public and private debt has a deleterious impact on growth when it moves above 250 to 275% of the United States. We're approaching 370%. Europe is around 460%. Britain is around 520. Japan is around 650. So all of the major areas of the world are above this zone in which debt becomes problematic. When debt is excessive, the rules of the game of economic performance change. In high debt society, there can be accelerations in economic growth, inflation, wages, bond yields, but they cannot stay up. They falter back because of the debt repayment problems. In addition, over-indebted societies can have downturns without the normal cyclical pressures. That's hard for people to believe, but we've seen broad downturns in Europe in three of the last 4 years with interest rates and inflation very low. We've seen approximately a dozen of these instances in Japan. The United States is very soft right now with interest rates and inflation both low. Third problem of high debt societies, economies, is that productivity declines, but it's not inflationary. It's just another characteristic of the extreme over-indebtedness. A fourth characteristic is that when economies become extremely over-indebted, monetary policy is ineffectual, if not a negative. Another characteristic of high debt societies is that the debt through the slower growth and the repayment requirements tends to depress the inflation rate to very low levels, often leading to deflation, and the bond yields decline to extremely low levels because the risk-free bond yields are mainly determined over time by inflationary expectations. So the rules of the game change, and when you have a global situation such as we have today, with every major area of the world extremely over-indebted, no one is able to serve as an engine of growth for the world. And that's a problem. So countries resort to currency depreciation, which becomes ineffective by trying to take growth or steal growth from others. But that policy produces some short-term benefits, but basically it serves to destabilize the global economy. We're facing difficult consequences. We can see that by the level of inflation, which is basically non-existent in Japan, Europe, and the United States. And it doesn't matter based on one or two indicators. All of the inflationary indicators are extremely depressed. In the last 12 months, you've got a slight degree of deflation in both the U.S. and Europe. Also in Japan, China's inflation rate is still positive, but it's decelerating sharply. Very unique set of circumstances. It only happens in rare cases. It has happened historically. It happened in the 1860s and 70s when the United States took on too much debt building the railroads and all of the associated areas that were needed to support the railroads. It also happened after the 1920s. But it's a rare event. It's happened before. But the main culprit for the unusual set of circumstances, inflation, bond yield, poor economic performance, can be directly traced to the excessive indebtedness.
Now, Dr. Hunt, there's no doubt that we're seeing every country essentially around the world, it feels like, go further and further into debt, playing this, what I think is a very dangerous game, trying to almost keep pace with the other countries. Is there, in your eyes, any end game for any of these central banks rather than almost being reactive to the situation that they've gotten themselves into?
Well, monetary policy can influence economic activity through five channels. One is the price effect. Price effects in economics are very powerful. In the case of monetary policy, that's the short-term interest rate. It's at zero, so not able to go any lower there. Quantity effects can be important and have been important historically, but in over-indebted economies, the central banks are not able to really control money supply growth. The Fed has greatly expanded its balance sheet, and so has the Bank of Japan, the European Central Bank, but they've not been able to stimulate monetary growth. Monetary growth depends upon the ability of the depository institutions to earn a rate of return that covers their costs and the risk premium. And when everyone is simultaneously over-indebted, that option is taken away. Another problem for the central banks, and this is not just true for the U.S., but it's also true for Europe and Japan, they do not control the velocity of money. The velocity and money are equal partners in determining nominal GDP. And when economies are so heavily indebted, the velocity of money declines.
Dr. Hunt, if I could, I just need to jump in here. We need to take a quick break, but we will be having you back on the next segment to continue this conversation. Everybody, Stick around. We're going to be right back with Dr. Lacey Hunt.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Are you suffering from EP? The symptoms include fraudulent charges to your credit card. Your subway card says it's empty, but you bought it yesterday. Someone's been in your hotel room, but the desk clerk says they only show you entering the room. These are signs of EP, electronic pickpocketing. Payment cards, transit cards, even hotel room keys use a radio chip, so you can just wave your card at the register, the turnstile, or your hotel room door. But what's convenient for you is also convenient for thieves, waving scanners to electronically pickpocket you without even touching you. The good news is there's a cure. ID Stronghold has created leather wallets and clutches that have built-in EP protection. Layers of shielding material cleverly concealed in a beautiful leather wallet that stops the symptoms of EP. Go to IDStronghold.com now and get the cure. IDStronghold.com. Warning, ID Stronghold wallets could lead to feelings of safety and security, comfort in crowds, and euphoria. If you experience these emotions, immediately inform your friends and family about IDStronghold.com so they can feel better too.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Joined again and still by Dr. Lacey Hunt. Doctor, we cut off the last segment as you were getting into the velocity of money and how it is playing into the different central banks' policies. Do you want to continue with that conversation, please?
Well, the velocity of money is declining very significantly in Europe, Japan, and the United States. The United States is not as indebted as Europe, which in turn is not as indebted as Japan. So our velocity is very weak, but it's weaker in Europe and then still weaker in Japan. The velocity of money has been dropping since 1997. It's currently at a six-decade low. Here's the problem. Money supply growth is about 6%, which is lower than where it was when the Fed started quantitative easing. Right now, the way I look at it, velocity is going to decline about 3.5% this year, which means that nominal GDP is only going to grow 2.5%. Well, nominal GDP has got to pay for price and for inflation and real growth. It's got to cover salary increases, corporate profits, returns to natural resources, entrepreneurship. A 2.5% increase in the pie is a very slim increase. And it leaves nothing but very small salami slices for everyone. And so monetary policy is basically out of the game. But the wealth effect is nothing more than the theoretical possibility. There's no empirical evidence that it has any substance to it. Currency depreciations can work, but they really destabilize economic activity there at the expense of someone else. So monetary policy is not going to work in its traditional way when economies are extremely over-indebted. It's out of the game. There's nothing that they can do. They can posture, they can make statements, speeches, and so forth, but central banking has no important tools that can exert an influence.
And I think even recently we've seen central banks almost the power shifting away from certain monetary policies. We have seen, increase in money printing over in the Eurozone, here in the U.S. The Fed did manage to taper, but as you mentioned, interest rates are still historically low at the point that there really isn't much more room for them to move. And I guess this then leads me to the question of with your investment management company, Hoisington, you've managed to be almost ahead of the curve. I'd say way ahead of the curve with some of your investment mentalities. How do you take into account, what should be a lack of policy influence in the, I guess, investment community?
Well, great question. We don't view an increase in a central bank's balance sheet as money. It doesn't really matter whether you follow Friedman the monetarist or Tobin the Keynesian or von Mises the Austrian. Money is not deposits of the banks at the Fed. Money are funds that are available to be spent by the households and businesses. And even though the U.S. has quadrupled its balance sheet, the Federal Reserve balance sheet, and we've seen the Bank of Japan balance sheet rise even faster, and now the European balance sheet, the money has faltered. Japan, for example, doubled its balance sheet in the last 2 years, but M2 growth is only 3.4%. In spite of the vigorous efforts of the European Central Bank, money supply is growing about 4.5%. Historically, it's grown 8%. So money growth is not responding, and there's nothing that they can do. Now, we're very careful to give equal weight to money and velocity. Money times velocity equals nominal GDP. And what's been happening for quite some time now is that money growth has been subdued in the sense of the funds in the hands of households and businesses. Velocity has been declining. And when that's the case, the inflation rate and real growth will be poor. During this time period, we've been carrying a very long duration in the poor fixed income portfolios that we manage. We're only fixed income managers. For those that are interested in looking at our record, we sub-advise the Wasatch Hoisington Treasury Bond Fund. Its symbol is WHOSX. We manage it like our individually managed institutional accounts, and we've greatly outperformed the Barclays for all time periods, basically, over the last 2.5 decades.
I have read up on some of the history of the Hoisington Investment Management Company, and yes, you are absolutely right, Dr. Hunt, that you guys have performed extraordinarily well. I want to wrap this up by asking you this general question, because we did touch on a couple of these key words. You brought them up, actually, inflation and deflation. Are we heading into a deflationary time?
It's a very significant risk. Here's the problem. In the last 12 months, the consumer index in both Europe and the United States has declined a smidge. If you look at the very mild recessions of 1990, 91, and 2000, 2001, the inflation rate dropped about 250 basis points. Those were mild recessions. If we get any sort of mild downturn, when you're starting from zero or slightly negative, the inflation rate could go to minus one or even more than that, minus two. The deflation is the risk in here, not inflation.
Well, I don't think people really realize the risk of a deflationary environment. I think some people think of, oh, deflationary means that gas prices will be getting cheaper, but without any sort of wage growth and with the large unemployment, at least, that people outside of the normal, I guess, government agencies that calculate it want to tell us that there is, it doesn't speak well for the man on the street, does it?
No, as a matter of fact, if you look at average hourly earnings of production and non-supervisory workers, the best rate of growth in this expansion was 2.4%. That's lower than all the expansions since 1965 when this series was created. For most people, that's the main source of income for about 70% of our households. And wages are not rising, and to any significant degree, the standard of living, which we call the median household income adjusted for inflation, is unchanged since 1996. And that's another characteristic or symptom of extreme over-indebtedness. Debt is buy now, pay later. There is a benefit when you take the debt on and spend it, but when pay later comes, you get weaker economic activity, and there's a point in time when the pay later overwhelms the buy now. And that's the problem for the global economy.
Well, and the fact of the matter is that buy now really needs to be some sort of producing asset down the road, I believe. When it simply just goes out the door and gets spent, well, then you really don't have anywhere to go but, I guess, try to print more money to pay down your debts. And we all see the system that that has gotten us into around the world. And that's why I think it's always very important to look around the world and see what other countries are doing, because they all seem to be running the same playbook right now, which, when you take a step back, does not look very good. But it is an interesting aspect of the financial economy that we are in. Dr. Hunt, absolutely fantastic chatting with you. We are definitely going to have you back on the show. Thank you again for taking time out of your day to join us.
Have a great week.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. ExtendoVite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then ExtendoVite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why ExtendoVite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237. 6-2-2-3-7, extension 129.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You are continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I have to say, Dr. Lacey Hunt, very interesting man. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with him, talking about kind of what's going on in the economy, the money supply, velocity of money. He had some great comments there. We're going to follow that segment up with a special segment with Richard Doc Postma. Everyone who has listened to our show and visits our site regularly understands that Doc is a technical trader. Doc has also been teaching myself and now Al about some of the technicals he uses. Doc is a self-taught technician here, and anyone who's followed his track record, quite a successful one. So, Doc, I wanted to give our listeners an overview of kind of what technicals you look at and how this all plays into your factoring when you are looking at stocks. So just to give everyone a background, if you are listening to this online or you are in front of your computer, we will be relating some of these technicals to the gold monthly chart. But before we do that, Doc, let's start off by one of the first aspects that you taught me about technicals, the Bollinger Bands. Can you start to explain why you pay attention to the Bollinger Bands?
Yeah, first of all, Corey, let me talk about the fact that I always look at daily, weekly, and monthly charts. And the further you go out, the more valuable they become, because daily just shows you short-term movements, but they don't show you really long-term trend. So the monthly chart, to me, is most important. But when I look at technicals, yes, I look at Bollinger Bands, and I love Bollinger Bands because they usually confine the price movement. And it gives you an idea when to get into a position and when to get out of a position, along with the other variables you follow. And that's why I like them. John Bollinger was the one that came out with them. And the other reason I like Bollinger Bands is they often tell you when a stock is entering a trading range and remaining in a trading range. And they also help from the standpoint of when they narrow considerably, it defines complacency and warns you that you're going to get a big breakout often within a particular asset class. And you don't know necessarily what way that breakout is going to be, but it's usually in the trend. And so you can position yourself accordingly. The other thing that's nice about Bollinger Bands is you can often put on positions or leave positions based on when the pricing hits that band. And especially in the long month charts, because if you're in narrow ranges, the odds are you don't have to get out of them until they break down either way in those long range charts. And so you can take positions and just let them set for a period of time until they tell you to exit or to add to your position if a particular asset class breaks to the upside.
Another comment on the Bollinger Bands. They are great for showing you the trend and, as you mentioned, the range that stocks are in. Right now in the monthly gold chart, we do see these Bollinger Bands narrowing, and we also see the gold price bouncing off the bottom of these Bollinger Bands. If you were trading in here, would you put a stop right around the bottom of the bands, or is this more or less showing you that you maybe shouldn't be buying right now?
It shows me, and that's a great point, I wouldn't be particularly aggressive to the upside right now, because overall the Bollinger Bands, along with its 20-month moving average, is telling me that the least resistance for gold right now is down to the downside, where it's going to probably break down and hit that Bollinger Band again. The thing I don't like about it right now is the fact that there's a tendency for that lower Bollinger Band right now to look like it's not quite moving laterally, but like it wants to move down a little bit. And so that tells me that there's a potential for gold price in the future if it moves down to potentially break below its previous low.
Now, Doc, let's move on to some of the momentum indicators. We're going to move down and start out with the RSI, which we set to a parameter of 14. Right now, if you're looking at the RSI, everyone who has studied RSI understands that anything above the 70 level is considered overbought, and anything below the 30 level is considering oversold. We are right now just under the 50 level. It looks like it's turning up. Why do you use RSI?
Well, I use RSI in conjunction with another momentum indicator, which is a MACD, which is a moving average from a convergent and divergent standpoint. The RSI is a relative strength index. It really isn't a strength indicator. It's more of a momentum indicator. So I use it with the MACD because they're both somewhat similar, but they tell you a little bit different story from each of them. And right now, with gold on the monthly chart, it's being contained between 30 and 50, which is a negative momentum yet, but it's pretty much has been moving laterally, and that's a good thing. If it would break down toward 30, then it would tell you that we are going to break gold price to a new low if we move to 30 and actually hit it. There's no question that we would break down and close at a new low.
Now, we hear a lot of technical traders talking about lower lows or higher lows or higher highs or lower highs in that aspect, usually referring to price. Do you take any of those considerations into the RSI or even MACD for that matter?
I look at them, and they are important. And I also use trading patterns like pennant and flag formations. Some of them are bear or bullish in appearance often. It doesn't always mean that that's what it's going to do when you see a bear flag. that doesn't necessarily say 100% of the time it's going to break down from that bear flag or from a bull flag. So you have to be a little careful with those. But, yeah, I do look at other things besides, you know, what we're talking about right now as far as momentum. And I do look at higher highs and higher lows. And lower highs and lower lows. And because they're just one, another indicator that if you look at the rest of these, like momentum and so forth, they can give you an idea on what your odds are as far as how price is going to break.
Okay, Doc, let's quickly touch on one of the final indicators, main indicators that you use, and that is ADX. It has a black line, a green line, and a red line, one signifying positive momentum, one signifying negative, and the black line signifying a trend, from what I understand. How else would you explain the ADX?
Well, the ADX, the black line, is actually your strength on the indicator, whereas your red and your green line are directional. If your green line is going up, your directional is up, usually for an asset. If your red line is going up, your direction is usually negative in moving down for an asset. And when these happen, the nice thing about the black line, it'll indicate to you how much strength there is to the move, because often I can tell, and I'll tell people that it looks like an asset is going to break down. And one of the things that tells me that is how strong the move is. And when this strength indicator doesn't show a nice move up, aggressive move, but there's a little bit of a move up, maybe a 10 degree or 20 degree move up, it tells me there's not a lot of strength to it. So that can tell you how strong a move is, Corey.
Now, everybody, I hope that you enjoyed this brief little overview that Doc has been able to give us. I found this to be valuable to understand, first of all, what Doc looks at in terms of momentum indicators, but then also the factor of looking at a number of different indicators out there to come up with your overall assessment. Stick around. We're going to be right back to wrap up the first hour with Roger White from Theralase.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience four full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times best-selling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the city you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the Coil and Economics Report, we have a company update for you, a company that has been a sponsor on our website for a little while now, a company that also Al and Doc hold shares in. In full disclosure, I will be picking up some shares of this company, Theralase Technologies, here in the next 3 days, giving you our 3 days notice. I find that it is time for myself to step into this stock because I like what they have done in the cancer division area. I have Roger White with me right now. Roger, I want to touch on the two news releases first that Theralase came out with last week. First off, let's touch on the May 12th release entitled Theralase Manufactures High Purity Anti-Cancer Drug. Essentially, you have managed to work with a company to successfully manufacture this lead drug that you are planning on taking through your trials. Is this correct?
Absolutely, Corey.
And can you explain kind of where this leaves the company? Because I know this is a big deal to not only have this drug isolated, but now also be able to manufacture it and have a company on board with you.
Yeah, absolutely. With Health Canada, you're preparing the company, or we're preparing the company for what's called a CTA, or clinical trial application. That would be equivalent to an IND, or Investigational New Drug application, for the FDA for the U.S., So with a CTA, there's three things that are really required. One, you need a GMP, or Good Manufacturing Practice Standard drug, which is what this press release relates to. Two, you need toxicology analysis, which is basically going to tell you the low limits and the high limits of your drug. And then three, you need a clinical protocol, or how you're going to treat patients afflicted with non-muscle invasive bladder cancer. So what this press release details is the progression of the manufacture of the drug. And as you take a drug from a lab to a manufacturing process, you've got to run it through a number of steps. And you build larger and larger batches of that drug, and you look to achieve higher standards of purity and higher yields. So eventually you end up with a commercial product which is suitable for human application. So what this press release details is really the steps that we've taken with Sigma Aldrich Fine Chemicals, or SFAC, out of Wisconsin in the manufacture of our drug. We first started with a lab batch from our labs. Then we went to a 1-gram batch with Sigma Aldrich. We went to a 50-gram batch. This is now an 80-gram batch where we're showing very, very high purity of the drug. From there, we'll be moving to our GMP batch, will be a 500-gram batch. And based on these, the use of this drug in our bladder cancer experiments, clinical studies, this will be sufficient drug to complete the full clinical trials, phase one and phase two.
Now, looking a little more in depth on the background of how this drug was manufactured here, Roger, did it follow kind of along the timeline that you had in mind, or were there any hiccups that came up or any, alterations that need to be made?
Well, I don't know if there's any hiccups. In any manufacturing process, there's always optimization steps. So the reason we chose Sigma Aldrich is that they have an extremely competent team of organic chemists, clinical chemists, process chemists. So they have a very big depth of clinical knowledge and chemical knowledge on how to manufacture certain compounds. So as you're going through it, there's always optimizations and purity steps. So a lot of this information is basically trade secrets. But what we've done is, in conjunction with SFAC, is we've shown that we can manufacture a very high purity and a high yield drug, which will be acceptable for GMP standards in clinical trials.
So, Roger, let's move on to the next news release of last week on May 14th. Entitled Theralase Discovers Anti-Cancer Drug Fluorescence in Tissue. This really made the stock move in that one-day period, up 37%. Can you explain to us what this means? Because I don't want to mess anything up here.
Well, not at all, and I don't think you'd mess it up. Really what this press release details is that we were aware that our drug fluoresces in vitro, in just straight cells in a Petri dish. But what we didn't know is that it actually will fluoresce inside bladder cancer in an orthotopic rat model. So we can actually detect bladder cancer within that model. So the 1-2 punch is that not only can you detect the drug, but you can also use, or detect the cancer, but you can also use this drug to destroy it. So the way that a uro-oncologist could use our drug is to, you know, through an intravesical instillation of our drug, TLD-1433, put that into the bladder via cystoscope, which is a standard procedure for a uro-oncologist, fill the bladder, allow that drug to isolate and localize into those bladder cancer cells, flush the bladder, and then fill it with water, and then check, and you're going to see under a certain wavelength of light the bladder cancer cells fluoresce. So you're going to know exactly where they are, or your oncologist is going to know exactly where they are in the bladder. Then he can insert a fiber optic bundle. He can activate it. He can destroy those cancer cells, again, drain the bladder. And after the procedure, he can see that the fluorescence is now gone, hence all the bladder cancer cells that absorb that drug have been destroyed. So it's a very, very, very nice process to deal with a very deadly disease that you can actually detect, destroy, and then verify that the destruction has occurred. So it's a wonderful tool for patients inflicted with this deadly disease.
Now, this is a nice advancement on what this drug was initially simply used for, wasn't it, Roger? It seems like this is not only helping now in the killing, but also on the front and back ends that could essentially, I know it's hard to say, but possibly lead to some sort of cost savings down the long run for hospitals?
Absolutely. It's something that we did not expect, which I think was the excitement from the company on it. But to be able to use it as a diagnostic, you could use the drug and simply use it as a diagnostic to say, well, is there bladder cancer cells? Because bladder cancer cells and micrometastases can be very, very hard to see, and they can be easily overlooked. If you know the design of a bladder, you can have undulations in the bladder wall, the urothelium wall, which makes it very hard to detect if there's any cancer cells or micrometastases. So the standard procedure for early-stage disease or non-muscle invasive bladder cancer is to use a cystoscope and to go in and physically debride or to scrape off those cancer cells, and then to use a bacteria called Bacillus Calmette-Guerin, or BCG, as a standard of care. But if you can't see the cancer cells, then what do you scrape off? This has the ability to be absorbed by singular bladder cancer cells, and then under fluorescence, have them light up and shine and say, here I am, please destroy me. So it can be used as a diagnostic with a debriding technique, or it can be used more elegantly as a diagnostic and then light activated to destroy it, and then further under fluorescence, under certain wavelength, to see that it's all destroyed. So it's a very elegant tool for the uro-oncologist.
One other point that I want to drive home here, Roger, and get your answer to, is the fact that when we first started chatting with you, the benefit of this drug is that it is actually very non-toxic inside the body. Is this still the case?
Absolutely. Some of the work that we've done on the toxicology, I can't release it because it hasn't been made publicly available, but what we've seen in all the work that we've done, Corey, is that the drug has virtually no toxicity to tissue, so it is a very, very safe and very tolerable drug. So going into a phase one clinical trial where your clinical or your primary clinical outcomes are safety and toxicity, we feel that we're going to be in a very good stead to complete that study and to excel at it, simply that we have no safety and tolerability. We've observed none of those effects in tissue in all the work that we've done.
Where's the cash position of the company? Because that is crucial in today's investing world.
Company's currently sitting on about $8 million in cash.
And
so we're fully financed to go through the full phase one clinical trials and the launch of our TLC 2000.
Perfect. Roger, really appreciate your time. As I mentioned on the onset of this interview, I will be picking up some shares of Theralase 3 days after the release of this interview. So that's going to be mid next week. I also want to state that do not construe this as investment advice. I am simply just passing along and updating our listeners to a company that we have been covering for some time. We even covered Theralase in the newsletter. Continue to look for our weekly updates on what is happening with the company. Roger, I like what you guys are doing. I'm excited to see what the next steps are. Thanks for taking time out of your day to join us today.
Always a pleasure, Corey. You take care.
Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dory, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit criticalhealthnews.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes Lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join our Critical Health News team. Go to criticalhealthnews.com. That's criticalhealthnews.com.